Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Alex Gold with you, Drew Nixon, producing the show, also co-hosting with me the next couple of days. Cody will be back a little bit later on in the week, I believe Thursday. We'll have the full crew back and ready to roll as we get set for Chiefs in Chargers. Hope everybody, once again, had a great Thanksgiving weekend. Back at work today. Hey, if you're listening, you're lucky enough. You're not at work today, even better. Props to you. Found a way to navigate through that. Absolutely full sports weekend. Got to enjoy that a little bit. We'll also hear from Andy Reid here in about an hour. The only place on a Monday after a Chiefs game that you can hear from Andy Reid is 96.5 The Fan. So that's coming your way in a little bit. Definitely curious to get his thoughts now that it's been a couple days since the Raiders win on a couple things that I'm going to bring up right here, which is where things are trending perhaps at left tackle with DJ Humphries. And that's where we start this hour, because I think two things have to happen before the Sunday Night Football game, or that night of the Sunday Night Football game against the Chargers, to allow this team to actually get things fixed. Like, for all the talk, and I'm certainly leaning into it, of, hey, come playoff time, I do have faith they can fix these things. Well, there's two things that I think have to be part of that equation, and they're right there in front of us. Number one, I think is obvious for everybody that's watched a minute of Chiefs football this year, and that is, Wanye Morris cannot play another snap at left tackle for this team. And look, I was in the locker room after the game. He owned it. I think it's not all been necessarily a fully healthy set of circumstances for him and all that, right? There's been noise, even though he hadn't been on the injury report. Like, I don't think he's 100%. That is all very true, I believe. But he cannot play another left tackle snap for this team this year. And in the future, frankly, I don't know. Maybe he becomes a guard, or he can help you out on the right side. I don't know. Like, he has been given multiple weeks to improve and just hasn't got there. Maybe the injury, if there is an injury, has caused that. He cannot play another snap at left tackle for this team. It got to a point, as we all know, against the Raiders, where they went to their break glass in case of emergency in-game situation, which was that Joe Tooney moved over to left tackle and Caliendo came in and played left guard. So then all of a sudden you were worse at left guard, maybe better at left tackle. So you still are not having a realistic solution. And that's why DJ Humphries has to be fast-tracked to start. Like, it just has to be. I understand it's a quick turnaround still, but you have to do everything in your power, both the Chiefs and Humphries, to get ready for this game on Sunday night. Like, the switch has to happen. You already, as an organization and as a coach in-game, use the break glass in case of emergency scenario, which was pulling your starting left tackle. Again, this is twice. Think about that. How many teams, this is why it's amazing they're 11-1. How many teams have pulled their left tackle twice in a season? Kingsley got pulled once, and now we all saw Wanye get pulled. Like, honestly, has that happened before? I know it hasn't happened for a team that's currently number one in the AFC or in football, you know, in terms of record-wise. I know that's not happened. There's no way it's happened. So, like, that's crazy. And I don't believe Joe Tooney, the left tackle, is a season-long fix. Like, I know there's been a lot of people for weeks and weeks and weeks been texting and put Joe Tooney at left tackle. That, to me, has always been a true in-game fix, or partial fix, not something that you're going to do all year. Props to Joe Tooney for even having the ability to do what he did. That is special. That's so impressive in-game to move from left guard. It speaks to how good of a football player he has been throughout his career. The fact that he can move from left guard to left tackle in a game, that's unbelievable. That's not a realistic long-term fix. The only potential fix, and I'll use the word potential because, as I admitted earlier, we are putting a ton of stock in DJ Humphries just being good to go. We're all hoping that's the case. I think it'll be an upgrade. To what extent, I don't know. It's hard for it not to be an upgrade.
It's hard to be worse.
When they got a turnstile at left tackle currently. So it's hard. I mean, they can have a cardboard cutout of of somebody at left tackle, and it Mahomes may only have like a half second less. Like it's been bad. It's been really bad. But DJ Humphries, who's been at the top of the sport before, right? Like he's been one of the better tackles in football before. We all know he's coming off an injury. Clearly the Chiefs were keeping an eye on him for a while. It's why ultimately they didn't sign Donovan Smith. I think it's pretty clear. Cause it's not like they're paying him a good chunk of money as well to get him off the couch and to be ready to roll for this team this season. They didn't bring him in just to be the backup once you saw the dollar amount.
Was it $4.5 million? Is that what it was?
I think it'd be up to $4.5 million, okay. Maybe with, I believe that's what it is. Up to $4.5 million, maybe with some incentives. I could be wrong on the exact dollar amount. I don't have it in front of me, but they have to fast track it, man. And then if you're a Chiefs fan, let's hope and see on Sunday Night Football what he looks like. And you better hope and pray that there's a significant improvement. And he could also get better as the season goes on. But that's the only way. That's when I say, hey, stop panicking. Let's see what happens in the playoffs. Part of that whole logic is on the notion that DJ Humphries, a different left tackle, is playing left tackle for this football team by then. And I think by then has to start this Sunday against the Chargers. And we'll hear from Andy at noon. I don't know if he'll flat out say that today. It might be like one of those things that we just wait till Friday to truly find out. I think he has to play left tackle, guys, on Sunday. I think that is almost a no other choice option at this point.
That was the most popular opinion on Friday. Somebody from the text line said this. I saw somebody else mention this as well. They say they should still call Donovan Smith just in case if DJ Humphries goes down. Did they have the capability to do that anyways?
I mean, you're talking about cap wise. Yeah, I mean, to me, finances. You probably can always make something like that. They made their choice. At some point, guys, yeah. you don't. The fact that they potentially have a replacement in season is pretty wild. Like, left tackle is not a position that in November you're typically able to go out and find a starting caliber left tackle. They might have done it. They might have. Brett Veach and company might have worked some magic again. We're going to find out whenever the day comes, hopefully Sunday night, when DJ Humphrey plays for this football team. That, like, if this all ends and it's a happy ending of Super Bowl three-peat and all this, and DJ Humphries is the starting left tackle in the Super Bowl, this signing is one we're going to look back for a very long time and say, they pulled it off again. They pulled, how the hell, Kareem Hunt as well. Like, how the hell did they do this again? It's why Brett Veach is the best general manager in football.
Yeah.
So that's where we could be, and hopefully that's the conversation we're having. But yeah, I'll admit, like, there's a major uncertainty still around DJ Humphries. It's just, you don't have any other choice, and it this is one of those where, like, we always joke, like, oh, it can always get worse. I don't think it can, guys. Like, this is one of those where, no, I don't think it can get worse by having DJ Humphries coming off an ACL injury start for you at left tackle.
Do you think that if it was, let's say, just Caliendo at guard and then Tooney at left tackle, do you think that they win the Super Bowl? Or do you think they
Believe Joe Tooney's playing left tackle for this team unless it's in game and another injury occurs and they have to do what they just did, which was it got to be so bad in game they had no other choice but to pull Wandae. Mahomes was yelling over there. I know Mahomes publicly and in the press conference is never going to throw anybody under the bus, nor should he. He's not stupid. He's always going to have his teammates back. But in that moment, we all saw. I mean, that was when that's right after that they made the switch. They had to.
Like he finally got mad enough where he kind of lost it for a second.
Yeah, I mean that it had to be done.
Yeah,
they had no other choice but to pull Wandae Morris. So that's the first part of like the two things to me that have to happen on Sunday Night Football against the Chargers to allow the rest of the season to be, you know, fixed mode and be good by the playoffs. The other one is way easier and should be way less complicated. The result may not be a ton better, but I saw evidence of it on Friday against the Raiders. And that is Joshua Williams is their best shot at better overall number two quarterback play. It was a one game sample of him playing well, but I've seen enough from Nazi Johnson at this point in 2024. When I say this, it doesn't mean that he can't someday continue to improve. But for right now, for a team trying to three-peat, Joshua Williams should be the number two corner, not Nazi Johnson. Maybe there was an argument to be made that Nazi Johnson's ceiling is or was higher than Joshua Williams, but I don't like where the floor is at. I think the floor is higher on Joshua Williams than Nazi Johnson. Jacoby Meyers had 4 catches for 86 yards when Nazi Johnson was on the field. Aiden O'Connell and Jacoby Meyers were carving up Nazi Johnson. They just were. Then later, they make a switch Josh Williams, now Aiden O'Connell missed a couple throws as well, and maybe that aids the numbers, but Jakobi Meyers finished for what, 6 catches and 90-something yards. He had 4 for 86 when it was Nazi Johnson. And I get it. There's other coverages and adjustments Spags makes as well. And so you can, maybe I'm giving Josh Williams too much credit. All I know is Jakobi Meyers was not a problem once Josh Williams was matched up with him. The secondary is a problem. Trey Tucker's touchdown, I believe that was Justin Reed on the coverage.
I think it was.
On that play. Cooked. The coverage is a problem. We're going to talk about the defensive line during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. I actually thought the defensive line had its best performance of the season. Secondary-wise, Josh Williams, though, has to be the number two corner the rest of the way. I don't know why that wouldn't... That seems obvious, doesn't it? They also, that, those are two massive in-game switches they made against the Las Vegas Raiders with Aiden O'Connell as the quarterback. That they felt they had a basically bench Nazi Johnson for Joshua Williams, and they had a bench Wanya Morris. That's for a team that's 11-1. Like that's pretty telling. And I think those are two adjustments that have to sustain itself heading into Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, it's weird because I think we still, in terms of the secondary, trust Spags to figure it out because, you know, he's so good at what he does. He's the best. But Joshua Williams, wasn't Joshua Williams when he played like, yeah, he ain't playing too good either. And I know that he looked better than what Nazi Johnson did, but I guess how much does it concern you anymore that we're still having this conversation and it's week 12, 13,
yeah,
opposed to week 3 or 4, which is, I think was the big question going into the season, is what do they look like? How are things going to change?
The problems have been obvious. I mean, that's why I said after, you know, start the show, whether it was last week talking about the Panthers or go earlier in the season, and we all have identified the problems. They're very, very obvious for even the most casual football observer.
Yeah,
that's watched like one game can say, you know, I think that left tackle spot's a problem. That secondary seems like a problem. And at times maybe the wide receivers haven't been the best. The only reason why for a team that's 11-1 where you're like, okay, this is not the end product is, one, we've seen prior history and DJ Humphrey hasn't played yet. We'll see what that looks like. Hollywood Brown hasn't played yet. We'll see what that looks like. Pacheco barely played. Let's see what it looks like when he's really going. Like that's the one weird thing about this conversation around the football team. And it doesn't mean each one of the names I mentioned are all going to come in and be great. There's a very good chance that they're not, you know, Aminihue. I forgot to mention him. Like, we'll see. I love what I saw from Charles Aminihue, though. I'll tell you that in his first game back. And we'll hear from him coming up in 15 minutes from the locker room after the game. But yeah, these are all problems. They have potential solutions, I think, personnel-wise. We're going to find out if they're actually the solution that is going to allow them to three-peat or not.
I think I get where the fan base is coming from, though, and people on the text line who have shown like frustration over this and not necessarily like hell's freezing over, but along the lines of we know the problems and everybody else does too, where it hasn't bit them yet, but eventually is it going to bite them in a moment where the Chiefs have to make a stop again on defense and they know Joshua Williams is in, and let's say Joshua Williams is struggling a little bit. They know where the ball's going, but you can only do so much to stop that from happening. Is that going to come back to bite them in a moment where, not that they could have gone out, I mean, they could have gone out and get Xavier Howard, or could have gone out and gotten another, but what was that going
to... Yeah, I definitely didn't want Xavier Howard, considering his situation.
Was it going to really do that much for you anyways? Where the left tackle situation, I think, is different, where you're almost taking a flyer on DJ Humphries, but we know that what he could be. Josh Williams, you're just hoping that he finds a way to be more consistent than what Nazi Johnson has been.
I just think his floor is higher. Like that's like I'm not saying that Josh Williams is going to be a shutdown corner.
You're going to get more out of him.
I think his floor is not as Nazi Johnson's floor, I should say, is lower. I think the floor is higher on Joshua Williams, and so I feel like I know more of a baseline level of play that I'm going to get consistently. Even if long term developmentally you thought Nazi Johnson was going to be the better option, like during training camp when they weren't able to find like legitimate two. And then it was Jalen Watson. I mean, that's the other thing that nobody gave Jalen Watson, I think, enough credit for how important he was to his football team. Everything with the secondary became a problem once Jalen Watson was out.
Yeah.
And that looks clearer and clearer every single game how much of a drop-off there has been post Jalen Watson playing for this football team. We'll get back into the defense coming up in 15 minutes during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Also, Andy Reid at noon right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Before we get to Trash of the Day, I got a little something special that we got to do for Trash of the Day today. I don't even know if it'll be Trash of the Day or not. I saw one circumstance play out in the game, and I got some pushback on it, and I'm not even suggesting that 100% the Chiefs would have been able to take a deep shot, but the NFL in the offseason is going to have to revisit the 10-second runoff when there's an expedited review. You guys know the scenario I'm talking about. Before halftime, the Chiefs are driving. They get what was originally like semi-call to completion to, what was that, Noah Gray, and they're in field goal range. There's, what, 14 seconds-ish on the clock. And the Chiefs are starting to get towards the line of scrimmage, some of the players. They're not all set or anything. And then the official comes in real quick and says, incomplete. Incomplete. Meanwhile, I think the clock went down a little bit. And then they pause, they huddle, and they say, after expedited review, the ruling on the field is a completed catch. However, by rule, there's a 10-second runoff, right? So then there's 4 seconds or something left. The Chiefs just kicked the field goal. The kick is no good, by the way, as the Chiefs are down to their third kicker this year. And it got a little scary on the return, right? There was a chance for a little while the Raiders were going to return that kick for a touchdown. It's a weird loophole, and I don't know the ultimate solution, I'll admit, because you don't want to penalize the defense fully either, but I sure as heck know if the ref on the field makes the incorrect call, in this case, incomplete when it was a completed catch, and you overturn it via expedited review, and overall, I think the expedited review is very good for football. The 10-second runoff, it shouldn't penalize the offense. Now, if the call was correct to begin with, let's say, okay, they let it play out, it's complete, the Chiefs are rushing the line of scrimmage, they spike it, maybe you disagree with me on this, 8 seconds, 9 seconds, they have a chance, no timeouts left, they have a chance to take one deep shot, maybe get closer for a field goal. That was my issue with the way it played out. I think it's a weird loophole, and what the fix is, I'm not even sure, because let's reverse it. If it was called a catch and, you know, and ultimately it should have been incomplete, the 10-second runoff thing makes sense, right? Like that part would make sense. So I don't know, how do you not punish the defense as well? But I certainly think the Chiefs and offense in general got punished on the 10-second runoff. And it was, someone said Xavier Worthy. I'm sorry. I said Noah Gray. Okay, it was Xavier Worthy. Whoever was making the catch, it was a catch, but they ruled it incomplete initially. That was a play that just, I was like, okay, what? In the offseason, there's no way the competition committee's not. Someone said if it was called a catch, I would bet it would take them 10 seconds to set up and clock the ball. I know, and again, I have no way to prove this to you, and you can't prove to me the other way either. I don't, that's what I said. It's kind of a, let's take the Chiefs out of it for a second. Like, whatever, in general, should there be a 10-second runoff in that spot? And that's what I'm saying. Can they revisit that?
I think they should.
I think the Chiefs aren't the Chicago Bears, okay? They were going to snap the ball or spike the ball. This isn't Matt Eberflus running the operation where they forget how much time is on the clock. We haven't even talked about it.
Forget 10 seconds. That was 30 seconds.
Yeah, we haven't even talked about that debacle for Chicago. But man, oh man, I think the Chiefs would have got to the line of scrimmage, yes. Maybe it would have only been with 5 seconds, they would have had to kick it either way. Maybe. But I don't think the Chiefs, with how organized they typically are, it would not have taken them 10 seconds to spike the ball. No.
Do we know why the 10-second runoff thing was even brought into, I guess, play anyways? Because it's only been around for
That's what's complicated. Because they didn't want to give the, like, it's why have the defense have a disadvantage. You know, because you would have stopped the clock in favor of the offense in some sort and saved time. That's the argument for why it exists. Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll get to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. But for now, let's get to it. So I don't need the Trash of the Day music today. We're doing something a little bit different. You can pod that down, Drew. Okay. I don't need the music. I got some different music. The question is, if you want to handle the duties today, it's time. It is time. You are Mr. Cincinnati. I told you I wouldn't talk about that football team until they were 500 again. They never got back to it. They were irrelevant this season. And yes, I have taken great joy great joy in the demise of Cincinnati. Do you want to do the eulogy? Do you want to handle this? Your Cincinnati Bengals are officially dead.
All right, I would like to say something. If you don't mind, start the music over. I would like to...
Oh, okay.
We are gathered here not because of what the Bengals were, but because of what they weren't. And that was a good team. While they still can get to 500, we know that they will not, as they're 4-8 and their defense can't stop a nosebleed. They have an MVP quarterback, a best wide receiver in the NFL, but they've got an organization that can draft well, will not pay players, and doesn't take advantage of opportunities. The Bengals season is over, and we look forward to 2025.
The season brought us some unbelievable memories to talk about your Cincinnati Bengals, I must say. Like, I must say, you know, we try to, you know, like, everybody's wrong sometimes. Like, we're all wrong. We all have bad takes and everything. But the one that I've said over and over that I apologized earlier this season for was I was critical of Ja'Marr Chase. I said, Ja'Marr Chase, you screwed up early on in the season. I said, Ja'Marr Chase, what are you talking about? Anybody can beat anybody in the AFC, like they're the team to beat. You said, Ja'Marr Chase said, they're the team to beat. And I said, what are you talking about? You're wrong. And it turns out Ja'Marr Chase was correct.
We are the team to beat in the AFC, and we know it, and we got to act like it, and we got to play like it too.
They turned out to be the team that everybody was beating in the AFC. So I apologize. He was actually correct. I also disagree. Your quarterback's not an MVP quarterback. Last time I checked, he has not won one. And yesterday, he also wasn't good, as a matter of fact.
He's playing at an MVP level.
Sure. Yeah, sure. And it wasn't good enough, though, for Cincinnati. And now T. Higgins, you guys went all in this year. Franchise tagging, didn't trade Trey Hendrickson. Ja'Marr Chase didn't get paid. It's going to cost your team more. Joe Burrow's contract's only going to get more and more expensive. May or may not have a new head coach. I hope that you guys actually keep your head coach, but it's over. And I felt like
for this year it's over.
I felt like it was time for you to officially put this, you know, put some dirt on the casket. It was time. And go ahead and close that thing up.
Yeah, there. It was funny because in the middle of the game, there are Bengals Twitter people who are like, "We are watching the funeral of the Cincinnati Bengals in real time." They go down 44 to. They also, that was the Bengals defense allowed Russell Wilson, who had been called washed multiple times, to have his second most career passing yards in a single game.
It was beautiful, wasn't it? It was awesome to watch.
They scored to tie it up at four. No, they went up 14-7. The Bengals did, and in a matter of three plays, the Steelers were in the red zone. You just couldn't make up how bad that they were. Now that being said, I am not going to become a Chiefs fan for all of you that asked me yesterday, and for the text line for asking me that today.
You're
going
to be rooting for them the rest of the year. Is that what I heard?
I will be. Oh no, I'm not. Look,
Drew's becoming a closet Buffalo Bills fan is what's happening.
No, I'm not going to be a Bills fan either. I'm rooting for the Packers, baby. Let's go with the rest of my family and my grandparents. We're going to go Green Bay.
Green Bay. Okay.
They're big Packers fans, so we're going to go that way. Of course, I enjoy watching good football teams play. The Chiefs are a good football team. I will say though, you guys have another enjoy the ticket to the AFC title game because boys, you have it.
I mean,
if anything, I'm not a jinx because the Chiefs won the Super Bowl while I was here, so I'm not a jinx.
Mm-hmm.
As well, the Bengals are Jets light. I don't think so.
I mean,
the Bengals.
You realize the Jets only have one less win than your Cincinnati Bengals. Right?
I know that's so disgusting. The Browns have one less win as well. Mm-hmm.
It's actually awesome to see. Dejon Anthony also left us a great memory in his time with Cincinnati.
Yeah, he hadn't played much since this moment.
You guys remember after Kansas City beat Cincy earlier this season? You guys remember the weird post-game comment about what Anthony had on his phone?
I honestly can't wait to see them. I got him as my one of my pitch lock screens right now, so I could see it every day. Both of them, yeah. Because I can't wait to see them again. One of my lock screens on my phone. Two, like, family members, and then they on there, too.
They're family now, huh?
Yeah, no, they're not family.
Mm.
I'm going to be
honest. He has Mahomes and Kelsey. It was weird at the time. Mahomes and Kelsey on his lock screen. You think he still has that? He said he can't wait to see them again. He's going to be watching Jim Nance and Tony Romo call the games all play. He'll be watching the Chiefs plenty throughout the playoff run. That's where he's going to see them next.
For as much as I say rent-free, there is no better definition than rent-free of you saving Mahomes and Kelsey as your lock screen on your phone. That's about as bad as it gets. And no, the Packers are not going to suck because I'm cheering for them. Jeez, that's disrespectful to my
You know how weird it is to have fandom. A photo of another, like, beer, like
very
take football
weird.
Out
very,
of it. Just
very,
like
very
a photo
weird.
Of another person that's not your significant other on your as your screensaver. It's a little weird.
Very
Let
weird.
Alone it's a team that is owns you. And now it looks even dumber because, of course, Cincinnati. I tried to tell you 3 or 4 weeks ago, man. You could have buried them then. It would have been easier. And now you just delayed. Like
No.
The grieving process could have been a lot shorter for you. And so today I wanted to give you the opportunity to officially do it. But weeks
you.
Ago, you could have. Weeks
I'm,
ago.
I'm glad that you did give me the opportunity. That being said, they might not make the playoffs. They still can go 9-8.
Okay. Actually, you know what? I hope.
That'd be worse.
I hope Cincinnati goes 9-8. That way you guys don't even have a good draft pick. Fine. Go ahead. And you'll keep Zach Taylor that way. Go right ahead. Win 9 games, please.
That would be so much worse. By the way, from the text line, you hit the nail on the head before we go to break. From the 913, the Bengals are the equivalent of the Kansas Jayhawks football team.
Okay. Yes.
They are in every game, and they lose just about every single one. At least Kansas could pull off a couple wins. I don't know how. Obviously, they didn't make a bowl game, so you probably don't feel any good at all anymore. But the fact that Kansas at least won a couple games, that was very nice of them to do. It's not like they have draft picks. The Bengals, on the other hand, I think they're going to play Burrow still. Somebody asked that yesterday. Are they going to actually play Burrow?
They need to make sure for his legacy that he actually has a complete season for the first time in a while. And make sure that actually occurs.
I'm gonna be
Otherwise,
honest,
that's the problem.
The fact, too, that he is, real very quickly, the fact that he... All the talk was about his wrist, and they keep on showing his wrist, and he's lighting up everybody who they play. They're 2-4
again,
in game.
Cincinnati is the best fantasy football team ever.
It's so depressing.
All it is. They're a great fantasy football team. I'm glad Jamar Chase is putting up big numbers. It's really gotten them far this year.
Someone said they have you and Gold, or you and Cody as their lock screen.
Thank you, I guess. Thanks. Thanks for that.
Look at Barbara just texting us in right now.
Up next, we get the Chiefs Red Half Hour. I want to talk about this defensive line, and we're going to hear from Charles Amenihu.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
All right, coming up in about 25 minutes, we're expected to hear from Chiefs head coach Andy Reid right here on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. The only place on a Monday to hear from coach is right here during Cody and Gold on 96.5. Someone on the text line said, win-win this week. Cody made it on TV. Gold made it on a TV and a movie. Drew is next. We want a live promo commercial for Drew at Twin Peaks. So has that almost been a year since the fantastic... semi-awkward video.
It's been about 7 months.
Seven months.
I think, because
okay.
It was May, I think, is when I went.
Yes. Cody, I guess it was you were here. Amazon came in and filmed something. Is that right? Last week or something before the Black Friday game. I saw the quick clip of that. Yeah, Cody made it on the Prime broadcast. The Hallmark movie obviously came out. I was in on that over the weekend. Yeah, you're next. The Twin Peaks appearance is definitely something you should do.
Okay, I was on I was on Casey Enzo, not for Friday.
No, you were with Rob Collins, yeah. Fox 4.
I was with Rob and
there you go.
And John and Harold for the Panthers, before the Panthers game.
We're also always on video streaming during the show. Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, X, you name it. Wherever you are social, you can find the show. Watch us on there as well. You can always text in 913-586-7965. One quick thing to pass along before we talk some Chiefs. The Royals just announced some of their team awards. Probably no surprises here, but Seth Lugo was named the Bruce Rice Pitcher of the Year for the Royals. Bobby Wood Jr. was named the Les Milgram Player of the Year, and Cole Reagans was named the Joe Burke Special Achievement Award winner for 2024. I would say all three of those individuals well-deserved. They're also going to speak to the media later on today. If there's anything notable that comes out of Cole Reagans and Bobby Wood Jr.'s media availability, we will certainly get to that either today or tomorrow. But we'll maybe later in the week also talk Royals. There's some new rumors out there on potentially some other targets. I was not on the show to talk about the Jonathan India trade. Obviously, I'm sure you guys talked about that last week. Excited to see what that means, because I think there's other moves to come as well. But let's talk some Chiefs football before Andy Reid speaks, and we'll get to that at the top of the hour as well. But I think the defensive line had one of their best, if not the best, performance of the season against the Raiders. It doesn't mean that Aiden O'Connell didn't put up some numbers and all that. That to me is more on the secondary. It doesn't mean that they were dominant. But I thought it was their best game of the year. Charles Omenihu's return is, to me, the biggest reason for that. It is not a coincidence that Chris Jones had his first sack since week four. In fact, he had two of them in the game. We know Chris Jones has been dominant even though the sack numbers haven't been there. And we pointed that out. That the double teams he's getting, I mean, just nobody's job has been tougher at that position this year, even if the sack numbers aren't there. But it got to a point, I think, in fairness, heading into the Raiders game where we were all kind of sitting around and said, okay, we acknowledge that, but where's some of the sack numbers? Well, he just got you two sacks against the Raiders, and now you wonder they start coming in bunches. That can happen at times. And Chris Jones gets two. Karloftis had one of his better games in a little while. There's no way it's just a coincidence that happens in the first game that Charles Omenihu is back from his ACL injury. That's one, when we talk bigger picture, how does the team get better? We say, hey, do you have confidence that they can get better pressure on the quarterback? It's like, well, let's see what happens when Charles Omenihu comes back. It's one game, but to me, you saw instant results having Charles Omenihu back in the mix. Now, he talked after the game. I was in the locker room. He was discussing just his return and what was a pretty long process to come back, and I think you got to be thrilled already to see the production he's providing.
I feel good. I know people think, you know, when you have this kind of injury that it would be lumps, and during the process it was, but going out there, I credit Greg and Tiffany more than Greg Cabin for getting me right. My knee felt good. I had no problems. I think going out there and getting my feet wet. Going out there and doing what I know I can do. I think that's the only thing. That's my frustration with myself. But, you know, I got to give myself grace and credit the whole organization here, bro. It's a Class A organization. You know what I'm saying? Like, allowing me to take the time to come back, do it the right way, and them give me the grace that I'm not giving myself. So I can only just appreciate them and just try and keep stacking and hopefully get back to how I was playing last year.
I think he played more than they thought he was going to play in the game, like going into it. I think he ended up, I was trying to pull it up real quick while that was playing, the snap counts, because I wasn't sure if they were out there, but Nick Jacobs over at 41 always does a good job getting the snap counts out. And Charles Omenihu ended up with 50% of the snaps in the game, which I'll be honest, going into the game, I didn't think he was going to play half the snaps on defense.
Yeah.
They needed it. They needed every single snap. That's a really good sign now, too. Let's make sure he doesn't, no setback this week during practice or anything. But after the game, he seemed to be feeling great after playing his first game since, the AFC title game against Baltimore, when he initially had the knee injury, which required the surgery. But if you compare his snaps, 50%, Turk Warren was right there, basically 49%. Mike Pinnell, who's never going to be as high on that, he's more of a run stuff guy, obviously, but 29% of the snaps. Chris Jones ended up playing what he normally plays, 88%. Of the snaps. Other than Mike Dana and Chris Jones in the regular, I guess, Karloftis, I'm sorry. So other than what you would expect, Chris Jones, Karloftis, and Mike Dana, Charles Omenihu played the most snaps on the defensive line. That was a good sign to me. I don't know only what the peak is for Omenihu. Does he get back up to, I don't know what his numbers were heading in the AFC title game last year, admittedly. Was he playing 65% of the snaps? Was he playing above Mike Dana snap-wise? I think we're going to see more and more of Charles Omenihu, and to have 50% of the snaps and immediately see, even against a Raiders team, to see that kind of production from Chris Jones and George Karloftis, I think was huge. Like that's kind of, if we're looking at the game, like the most positive takeaway out of that game, and which has otherwise been, you know, everybody's frustrated with the close win. Yeah. I think what you saw from Charles Omenihu and the entire defensive line, that should be the most optimistic takeaway out of the entire game.
Yeah, we had been waiting for George Karloftis to have that. And that was something that Cody and I talked about last week, and Mac and I was like, hey, we need to see something from George Karloftis. Because I think coming into the season, he had, 10.5 sacks last year? And we had the conversation of, can he be in that 12.5, 13.5? You know, can he elevate himself into not necessarily the elite category, but the upper echelon of pass rushers who come off the edge? He hadn't done that at all this year like that. And some of it may be just the fact that, you know, it's on him a little bit more. Chris Jones obviously is doing a great job, but he hasn't been very good. Yesterday, very good. Maybe some of it in part directly, as you said, goal to Charles Omenihu and him taking. Now they've got three solid to legit very good pass rushing options now, not just two where one of them is taking away the double team, but George hadn't been that well. I think he's been helped from Omenihu obviously already.
Because part of the solution, if we discussed earlier the coverage problems with this team, and yes, Texter, I see your text. We talked about that earlier as well. We'll get back to it. I agree with you. They were a lot better in coverage when Joshua Williams was out there instead of Nazi Johnson. Absolutely. We got into that earlier in the show. One other way to help out, whether it's Nazi Johnson or Joshua Williams or whoever's been, Trent McDuffie's going to keep doing his thing. He's still one of the best corners in football. And they did not throw his way maybe twice, I think, in the game, in the Raiders game. The other way to help all that is, of course, getting pressure on the quarterback. It's pretty obvious that if you're able to get to the quarterback, you're not asking your guys to cover as long. And that's been a problem. They haven't been able to do either. And that's why the defense has slid back here a little bit. And so if they're able to get Omenihu more involved after a really strong first showing in 2024, then Chris Jones and Karloftis, to me, are going to have an opportunity to go eat. And they did at times. Not throughout the whole game, but at times they did, and they really impacted the game, and we hadn't seen that in a while. And so that's why I said I think it was the most positive thing out of the game, and a game that had frustrations at left tackle and frustrations with not running and frustrations with some drops and all the thing went into the Raiders win. The Chiefs went over the Raiders, I should say. That defensive line has to at least make you feel a little bit better about the chances, right? The chances of this thing getting better, which gets me into the next conversation here in the Chiefs Red Half Hour before we go out and hear from Andy Reid in about 15 minutes on 96.5 The Fan. It's why when I hear Rex Ryan on ESPN and Get Up talking about, I guess it was Sunday NFL Countdown, discussing what he's seeing and how the Chiefs look like a team that are going to be heading home early in the playoffs. And I'm just kind of like, let's see what this thing looks like over the next couple weeks when some of the personnel's back.
The only thing you're missing, this ain't the same team as last year. There's no Ladarius Snead out there. Their defense is average as hell, especially against a vertical passing game. You guys seem to think it's going to be the same. It's not.
So you're telling me, hold on, Brady.
Block me, and I'm telling you right now, Pacheco, he better be healthy, or I'm telling you.
So you're telling me you're sitting up here counting the Kansas City, the back-to-back Super Bowl defending champion. You're counting them out, right?
I'm saying this, Randy. I recognize the fact that they're going to get the bye. All right? Now all they have to do is win one more game there in the championship game. The way they're playing, I don't have any faith in it. Why? I've been around this game all my life. I've seen teams like this before. And you know what happens to them? They get beat in the first round.
That was Rex Ryan yesterday. Part of saying that, one, I would just bring up the history of Patrick Mahomes. He loses in the AFC title game in overtime. That's as early as he gets bounced in the playoffs. He's still the quarterback of this team. Andy Reid is still coaching this team. We can all acknowledge that this team looks different than they were in the playoffs last year, of course. And if you're gonna say, well, they look different at this time than they did last year. Well, this time last year, they were 9-3 or 9-4. And they also lost on Christmas Day to the Raiders. And everybody thought the season was over there. I feel like, man, revisionist history is a crazy thing sometimes. Like, suddenly we're acting like we felt amazing about this football team at this point last year. Like they didn't have all these flaws. Now, if you want to push back, I think you would say, hey, the defense was still dominant last year. The offense wasn't. Then the offense played better and the defense was still dominant. That's why they won. Fair point. And that's why they have to get much better offensive play, because I don't think the defense is going to get back to the level that they were last year. But can they come closer to the pack? And that's where we just discussed. Can Charles Omenihu help them do that? Can Joshua Williams, instead of playing Nazi Johnson, can that get them slightly better? They're not going to be a top three defense heading in the playoffs. No, of course not. They were playing like that last year. That's not coming back. That's just not there, it looks like. But can the offense, with some better left tackle play potentially, with Hollywood Brown Jr. maybe part of the equation? All big ifs, but still the jury is still out. That's why I think it's so silly for Rex Ryan or anybody to be like, oh, I can just tell already they're just going to lose in the first round. One, that's just ignoring what we've seen from Mahomes, but also ignoring that this is not the finished product yet. The finished product might be the same. I don't know. It might. But Let's see what the next, what is it, five games left, I guess? Six games left in the season, five games? Let's see what it looks like with the personnel that's going to be there in the playoffs. What does that do? Does it not do anything? If it doesn't do anything, then yeah, they got a problem. If DJ Humphries comes back and they're still having major problems at left tackle, then yeah, it's a problem, and they're going to be bounced early, or at least earlier than the Super Bowl. But right now, they're still the number one seed in football in the AFC, and boy, oh boy, that bye week seems massive for this team to only have to maybe win a game to get to the AFC title game.
I think it's just one of those things that you have to, until it happens, you almost have to believe it to see it. Like, it's not as, with other teams, it might be easier to just hear from Rex Ryan and be like, yeah, you know what, that actually makes a lot of sense when you're talking about the rest of the NFL. It makes sense why you would have this opinion, but not everybody is like the Kansas City Chiefs in this regard, that they've had significant adversity and they still haven't let it affect them in terms of their run to the Super Bowl, example obviously being last season, where until it happens, you almost don't, you don't believe it. Where Rex might be correct in what he's saying about other teams, but
and
he might,
it's only because of the Chiefs is the only reason why I'm like, okay, but that matters, right? We're talking about a different animal, a team that's gone back to back, which has only happened a couple times in NFL history, and nobody's gone and three-peated. So yeah, I view them differently than if it was a team head coached by Nick Sirianni a year ago when they ended up firing both their coordinators.
That comparison, it makes sense until you get to the nitty-gritty of the coordinator situation and all of that, where you can have that debunked. Rex Ryan, he might be right. If they lose in the division round, he's right. But until that actually, there's no reason for you to say it makes a lot of, that he would be right, because it hasn't happened yet. Where if he'd have said this last year,
A lot of people at this time last year, and certainly after the Christmas Day game, Drew, last year said, they're gonna be bounced early. They'll beat Miami and then they'll get killed on the road, right? Oh man, he's got to go on the road. This year they may not have to go on the road. We'll see, and they may have to play fewer games to get to the Super Bowl. So it's just like, yeah, this current version of the Chiefs, right this second, if the Super Bowl was played this weekend, yeah, I would, and when the playoffs, I should say, were beginning this weekend, yeah, they would be in trouble. Yeah, I think we're all on the same page. But it's December 2nd. The Super Bowl is not in a week or two. The Super Bowl is not till February. The AFC title game, or heck, an AFC divisional round game, which is more likely in what they'll be playing in, than a wild card round, a divisional round game if they get the one seed, is not till what? January 15th or the 20th, whatever the math or the dates line up to be.
Still over a month left.
So I want to see what it looks like with that personnel. That's all I'm saying. And they are. Yeah, I absolutely view the potential fix differently for them than I would any other team in football. And I would say, you're damn right I do. Like, how would I not?
There's no reason for you to think any differently. There's no reason for you to think that the Chiefs are the same sort of team like the Bills or the Ravens or whoever, where they're going to get bounced in the divisional round over the last 5 to 6 years that we've seen the Chiefs. There's no, like Rex, again, he might be right in saying this, but there's no reason for you to have this opinion regarding the Chiefs, because they've shown time and time again over the last 4 or 5 years that they're just different than everybody else's when you're making comparisons to other teams historically in the playoffs.
Yeah, they got their work cut out for them. But man, if there was any head coach and any regime and any group of players that I would believe can actually figure it out, this is as good as it gets. This is as good as it gets in the NFL for that. All right, up next, we're going to hear from Andy Reid exclusively on 96.5 The Fan.